Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
And it's been really fun watching the girls progress so much in the last couple of months.
The puppy wanted to be part of the interview.
You're gonna sneeze. Go downstairs.
Was it Scribble?
That's Scribble Jackson.
Scribble Jackson says, "Hello, Soundwaves from the Underground."
I'm JP, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Recorded live in the Jeanette D. Moses Memorial Studio. SLUG, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, and subculture. On this week's episode, the burlesque troupe Salt City Sirens, Yelp, wherein we talk about food trucks, carts, and the like, and a very interesting journey into, let's just say, outer space with Five State Killing Spree. Burlesque seems to be seeing a resurgence lately, and the newest troupe in town, the Salt City Sirens, are adding their sexy hats and stilettos to the ring. The group, consisting of experienced dancers who all shared a tight friendship, debuted in March of 2012. They perform at Bar Deluxe and occasionally take part in giant showcases and fundraisers. Slug writer Isha B recently spoke with a few of the dancers involved in the group.
Introduce yourselves and tell us what you do for Salt City Sirens.
My name is Leah Merle, aka Roxy Baudelaire, and I'm a dancer and choreographer for the Sirens.
My name is Sarah Hare, also known as Miss Dottie Hot. I'm also a dancer and a choreographer, and both Leah and I do a lot of the business end and putting together of shows for the troupe, and we're really cool.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm Drew Hudson. I am the master of ceremonies for all things Salt City Sirens.
Our troupe mother.
So you do like the emceeing and stuff?
And I do the photography.
Fantastic.
And poster work and logos and stuff.
Tell us a little bit about Salt City Sirens. It's a burlesque troupe full of sexy babes. What else you got?
Yeah, we're a burlesque troupe. Right now we have 9 girls. We started last October. We've gone through some changes as a group since we started, but we try to perform about once every 2 months. Just a bunch of babes dancing in their underpants, I guess.
Love it. What inspired you to start the troupe?
It was just a bunch of us girls. We're all really, really, really close friends. And we decided, since we spend so much time together, we might as well do something other than drink. Other than go Thanks. Through. We just decided, you know, let's give it a go. And it turns out we're all pretty good dancers.
Let's drink and dance.
Yeah. Right. And it turned out to be a great thing.
How did you form? Select performers? Did you have auditions?
When we first started, we all met at the bar and decided we should do this. And so kind of, it was just our close friends at that point. We just recently had auditions and welcomed 3 new girls into our group. So that was really fun to get to have auditions and watch girls dance. But when we first started, it was just all of us that we would see on a regular basis.
Yeah, it was really just kind of anyone who was there at the time. We were just like, yeah, let's do it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Any of you ladies want to dance in your underpants?
Yeah. I do.
I love it.
And then of course, Drew came into the group because we thought, who do we know that is just the most clever bastard? And it's Drew.
It is.
Love it.
Try to be a bastard.
And we needed someone who could actually tolerate all of us.
That was
high stress moments and whatnot.
Love it.
He was the man for the job, so.
That's pretty impressive, sir.
I've just seen them all do a lot of stupid shit. Let's
streamline this stupid shit.
He can like see it in our eyes when we're about to do something really dumb, and she's like, nope, don't do that.
Let me. Me do the stupid things. Yeah. I'll wear the leather jeans.
You already mentioned how often you perform. You try to do it about once a month, is what you're saying?
About once every 2 months.
Once every 2 months. It's a lot of work to put together a show,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, we've tried to, between our first and second show, we didn't give ourselves very much time, and we were feeling towards the end, but right. We were pulling our hair out a little bit, trying to pull
it
together,
scary.
So.
Totally.
We just want to give ourselves enough time and let people forget how awesome we are, so when they come watch us,
right. Well, and it's hard too. It's not like we have people from other troops coming in. It's just our girls and just us. And so the 2 month mark seems to work pretty well as long as we don't procrastinate.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, and as things evolve too, because this is a young troop then, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still a baby.
Yep.
I love it. So where can we see your shows then?
Mostly, so far, Bar Deluxe.
Love Bar Deluxe.
It's fantastic. Of course,
Casey's great and she's helped us a ton. They have a big, awesome stage and we can fit a lot of people in there, so.
They have a nice dressing area for all 9 of us.
That's definitely important.
It's difficult sometimes and it gets to be a mess about halfway through the show. Have you seen my bra?
Oh man, I can only imagine.
It happens.
What types of performances can we expect to see at one of your shows? We have fairly traditional burlesque performances, or do you guys get crazy?
I'd like to think that we are not super traditional. Our last show, as Drew so lovely named, was the Hair Metal Hell Ride. It was an all 80s butt rock show. So there was a lot of big hair and makeup and
a lot of Def Leppard.
We do some traditional stuff. All the girls have different styles. I would say I'm probably more traditional. Sarah comes from a belly dancing background, so her stuff's a little different. We have some girls that were on drill team, and so everyone's style is
that
just
is
totally
so
different.
Fun. And that goes right into my next question too. So when you plan a show, do you work with themes? So did you go into that last show? Did you talk about it being a hair metal?
With that show, we did. We decided we wanted to do a theme show, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But our first show was not a themed show. We don't necessarily go on themes, but it's just kind of working out that way.
Like right on.
With our next show.
I think everybody wanted to shake their butt to a butt rock song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's something
we kind of had to get it out of our system a little bit.
Yeah. That's fun.
Something I've been wanting to do since I was like 5 years old. Now I can mark that off the bucket list.
And then what was that? Were we about to get a sneak peek of what your next show's theme was?
I don't know.
Our next show is going to be some kind of a three-ringed circus.
Oh, love it.
Spectacular. Yeah. So
that's fabulous.
If anyone out there knows where I can get a tiger that won't be my face,
we've been interviewing and it hasn't been going well.
You gotta talk to that goat man and see if he has like some skills
some tiger
in tiger acting or some tiger buddies or something. See if you can get somebody in on that. So do you choreograph as a group? I know you said that you both choreograph.
We try to do at least 2 group numbers a show. We had a wonderfully talented girl that was in our group that just moved away, and she was kind of the leader of the choreography. So we're just kind of starting.
We just took over.
Working on it. We'd done a little before, so now Sarah and I are kind of getting together in this living room few times a week.
Yeah.
to work it out. But as far as like the solos and stuff girls do, they do that all on their own.
You just kind of plan the slots and then they come prepared.
Well, mm-hmm. Like That's we said, we fun. Have some really talented girls we just got into the group and we think they're gonna actually do a lot with choreography. It's just a matter of getting us all in the room and room to work on stuff.
Get together, no doubt.
With 9 girls with 9 different schedules, it's near impossible.
It's like Slipknot.
It's out of control. You mention on Facebook that you practice the art of the tease. Can you tell us more about that?
We don't want to, you know, just give it all away.
I mean, you can't just give it all away.
I mean, anyone can just walk out on stage in some pasties. It's getting to that point.
It's the art of gracefully taking the clothing off while actually dancing. We do like to focus more so on our dancing than just taking clothes off, because anyone can do that. I think everyone can take clothes off, I'm assuming. But doing it while...
We should do a show where everyone takes their clothes off.
Right.
Everyone in the audience.
I think that would be a fun show.
They can tease us for once.
Yeah. We'll just sit up there and watch them.
just pull up chairs and be like, yeah,
how you
better.
Could do like a strip poker version or something where it's like, we're going to play a song and you guys have to slowly take off your clothing, and you can take off as little clothing as you want. You just have to be able to draw it out and right. have enough clothing on in the first place.
To last through the song.
Which in truth, awesome. That does happen. It's like, I need at least 3 more layers because this song is way too long.
Right?
I ran out of clothes.
I guess I better add a robe on top of all of that.
Can I take out a hair tie? Like, does that count?
That is a lot of shimmying.
Oh, yeah.
That was Isha B speaking with the Salt City Sirens. Their next show will be November 9th at Bar Deluxe. For more information on the group, visit them at facebook.com/Salt City Sirens. Daisy and the Moonshines recently joined us at Urban Lounge for a Slug Localized. There was a big crowd there. They really enjoyed the show. This five-piece is a groove grunge band from Salt Lake City that formed in the summer of 2011, comprised of Jared Asplund, Shea Ledesma, Jacob Hall, Beverly Smith, and Thomas Fowler. The band released their debut EP, Daisy, in December of 2011 while simultaneously booking shows every week throughout the year. In August, the band released the follow-up EP, Moonshine, during that aforementioned Localized at Urban Lounge. Here's Daisy and the Moonshines with Graffiti of the Ghost from their new EP, Moonshine.
I fly to the roof, I fly through the roof, I fall through the circles that will torture us. See my boast through the sticks and the time that we burn, till we glad to the church where you question what was mine. See my boast, see my ghost, I flew freely like the ghost of our graffiti. See my prose that turns to a ghost, testify of my pride. Will you ask me for a lie?
Testify of my pride, will you ask me for a lie?
That was Graffiti of the Ghost from Daisy and the Moonshines from their new EP, Moonshine. To read more about the band, visit our August 2012 issue at slugmag.com. You can also see a video interview that I did with the band during that Slug Localized. That's under video/audio on that website. For more info on the group, visit them online at facebook.com/daisyandthemoonshines. We're joined once more by Yelp community wrangler and Yelper extraordinaire, Jeffrey Stedman. Thanks, Jeffrey, for joining us.
Thank you for having me again. Appreciate it.
We're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, of course, which is food that you can find on the street.
Right. We should probably clarify. Yeah. This is food that is sold on the street.
Okay. Yeah. That's
right.
That's
not good. Yeah. Okay. As long as we're all on the same page. And I'll tell you what, now is the time, and to coin a phrase, this is the place. I think the mobile food movement is finally taking off in Salt Lake City. There's a lot of things that have gone into it, a lot of pioneers that have gone into it. Apparently we're on a theme now, like food truck pioneers that have gone into it, but with some ordinance changes and stuff, it's really happening, and we're seeing a lot of really, really rad trucks at the street.
I've eaten at a few around town, like Lewis Bros and that vegan one. The Rose one, you know what I'm talking about?
Ramblin' Rose.
Ramblin' Rose, mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're not officially a truck, a trailer, yeah.
Do we want to talk about distinctions right now?
Well, let's break it down. So a food truck operates under its own power, right? They have the kitchen on there. And really, for you who are out there like looking for some place to eat, I'm not sure there's a huge difference in your mind. The differences only really come in with like ordinance stuff and really boring, like, you know, hand washing, sink prep, you know, all that kind of stuff. So really, mobile food is mobile food. Except that sometimes, you know, they can drive under their own power. So you have that, you have trailers, which is, you know, you'd have like concession stand kind of stuff that rolls into that category. And then food carts, which I think in my mind are the least regulated, although they're perfectly safe, they're perfectly regulated, but they're very, you know, they can go a lot of places that maybe some of these big trucks can't. You know, they all can have great food or not great food. It really just depends on who is the guy flipping the burger, grilling the hot dog, whatever.
And where do you want to start?
I think we go with the food truck pioneer in Salt Lake City, none other than our friend Sue Ann at Chow Truck. These guys have been doing it for a while. You know, she knows what she's doing. I was speaking, like, you know, from an Epicurean point of view, like, the food is really, really good. 4 out of 5 stars on Yelp, 73 reviews, so really well vetted. And Jessica, I love what Jessica M says. Jessica M, Yelper, in her review, she says, Chow Truck is the Ritz-Carlton of food carts. And it really, you know, you think street food, you think, you know, hot dogs and burgers and some of those things that I mentioned, but she's really doing some creative things, known for their root chips, right? These, you just have to have them, the root chips. I mean, they're chips made out of root. You know, she does some really fun things. A lot of times she'll work with local chefs to kind of feature an item for the month. So I think she's worked with Tekashi before, for example. Just really, really good food. It's not, you know, you're not paying hot dog prices, right? So adjust your mindset that just coming out of a truck doesn't mean it's not good and doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to pay for a little bit of quality.
That being said, I first came across the food truck experience in LA. I worked at different neighborhoods. We were mobile ourselves, the unit I worked with, so we'd go and get some, you know, Mexican food usually at all these construction sites where they park, and everyone, all the workers in the neighborhood would come get the food. And I was scared at first. You know, you're scared. You're like, I don't even speak the language these people are. But, you know, the menus are always clear, easy to read, and the food is really good. So give it a shot if you haven't. As you mentioned, you can get some really good food on the street. The Ritz-Carlton of food carts, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, yeah. You make a great point in that we have come a long way since, like, the roach coach that drives up to the job site and, you know, toots the obnoxious horn and all the workers come out. And, you know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about restaurants that just happen to have wheels on them, right? These are people who know what they're doing, who really are exploring creative flavors. I think a great example of that is Lewis Bros.
Yeah.
They're all about flavor. They're all about some really unique tastes and menu items, and their menu is always changing. They take turns, I think, going back and forth about who's going to put stuff on the menu, the two brothers.
And what are the Yelpers saying about Lewis Bros?
4 out of 5 after only 4 reviews. They've only been on the street for a couple months is all. Scott R. says, I was the first customer of the day, and upon their suggestion, ordered the banh mi, which is a Vietnamese sandwich. That seems classic. Like a simple enough sandwich when you get it, but this little sando packs a whole bunch of flavor. Again, it's flavor, flavor, flavor. Again, you pay for a little bit of quality, but the guys are just super cool, super chill, and it's great food.
I've had their French fries with collard greens on them. Really excellent. I don't think collard, but greens.
Yeah.
The chili peppers, they threw me a little bit. You know, like the next day. This is kind of private. I don't. Anyways.
You know what? Let's not talk about the next day.
It was really good.
Definitely check them out. Another new one in the last several months, Submarinos. We saw this truck parked for a long time, like, but never really like found it out, and now it's starting to show up more and more. Submarinos 4 out of 5 after 8 reviews. Doug C. Submarinos is a new food truck run by Tony, your neighborhood bartender from Dick and Dixie's. Sliders 1 for $2 or 3 for $5. Philly cheesesteak for $7 or $8 with cheese. Grilled cheese is $5. And they also have a meatball sandwich and a meatball or Philly for the sliders. Super useful info from Doug. I haven't tried these guys. Seen them out a few times on my list to try.
And this is a good question. You mentioned that you saw it parked and not doing much, but now it's mobile, but where can people find these carts? How do you find them?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the best way to do that is whatever you're looking for, you can either go to Yelp, right? Hit up Yelp.com or Yelp on your mobile app and search them by name. And a lot of times they'll link out there in their profile the best place to find them. So you'll go to their website and they'll have info about, you know, how to track them down. A lot of these guys, honestly, are using Twitter, and so you can find all their info. You know, I just tell people to go to Yelp, and from there, these people are telling you how to find them. One of the great things that is happening every Thursday at lunchtime at Gallivan, we're sort of having a food truck rally every Thursday, and so anywhere from it used to be 2 or 3, and now it's, you know, 5, 6 sometimes of these food trucks are showing up at Gallivan Plaza every Thursday at around lunchtime, like 11 to 1, let's say, and you can catch a lot of them there.
That's another more metropolitan aspect of Salt Lake City's burgeoning food scene or downtown scene in general. This is something you'd see in, like, Portland, places like that, and it's here now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about Salt Lake City and excited about that this has really caught on and that finally the city, I think, has kind of embraced the movement. You know, that being said, you know, you go to Portland and there's, like, you know, 400 food trucks on every corner. So, I mean, we're not there yet, but I'm really encouraged because it does allow you to taste some things that, you know, we just wouldn't taste. A lot of people don't have the capital to go into a brick and mortar place. And so I don't want to take anything away from the restaurants because on the brick and mortar side, we have amazing food going on, but it's kind of cool to see this happening too.
Oh, definitely. What else is on the list?
Wacky Packy, brand new. Wacky Packy, Pakistani food, 3.5 out of 5 after only 2 reviews. Candace S. shouts out the Chapli Kebab Pita, the Dal and Chawal Wrap. I'm not pronouncing those correctly, but she says they're delicious, simple, yet offer a good range of options. Better Burger showed up last fall, took the winter off, and they were back out this summer in force. 4.5 out of 5 after 2 reviews. Hang W. says something nice about coarse ground beef patty for a burger, and then add some bacon, and it becomes magical. Hang W, we could not agree more with you about that.
Yeah, that sounds really delightful. All these food trucks, it's making me hungry.
Yeah. And Better Burger, you know, they do take care to give you some really, really great beef options, you know what I mean? It ain't the gristly stuff, you know? They're going after the really, really good, well-taken care of beef.
It's right in their name. Now, what else is on the list there?
We're going to go through and just talk briefly, just hit briefly on a lot of these and see what we know about them. On a Roll started out as something different and now is a crepe truck. And a family-run, super nice gentleman who owns it, I met with him, and they do savory and sweet crepes. Belly owns a patent, if I'm not mistaken, on ways to stuff a sandwich.
Whoa.
So there's a whole contraption involved. They wrap the food in this thing, and then they jam it inside of, like, a torpedo inside of a dream inside of a sandwich. It's the best way to describe
this it. This is rolling around Salt Lake City?
Yeah. Patent-owning, friends.
Wow. Hey,
Belly. Bento truck, Japanese food, really, really positive things from folks about bento truck, so give them a try. I've seen Into Place. He came out and did it's like Southeast Asian street food fusion, so like Korean tacos and kimchi burrito and all that kind of stuff. I haven't seen him around for a while. I'm not sure if Andy, same with Andy, and I'm not sure if he's still running around, but if you see him, follow the D, man.
What,
that is
what was
good
the name
stuff.
Of that?
In one word, D, just the letter D, and Place. And he was for a while setting up down by Coffee Connection on State Street.
Have you ever had a kimchi quesadilla, my friend?
I've had a kimchi burrito in San Francisco one time at a place called HRD Coffee, HRD Coffee Shop.
At South by Southwest last year, I had a chicken kimchi quesadilla, and it's one of the best things I've ever had. I ate there like 3 nights in a row.
For those of you listening, if you're going to Vegas anytime soon, look up on Yelp, look up Comex, K-O-M-E-X, Korean-Mexican fusion food.
Wow.
Check that out, for sure. Okay, back to Salt Lake City, Pogi's Pizza Truck. You also have a brand new one, a guy named Vic opened called Como Lomo. It's Peruvian food. Again, I'm not sure. He was about to launch. I'm not sure if he's launched out on the streets yet or not, but keep an eye open for him. He's on Twitter. Obviously on Yelp, and you can check him out. He's actually, the guy who owns it is also a Yelper, so I've just ran into him online a few times, and he's super excited to bring Peruvian food. Cruisin' Sushi, I've taken a tour of their truck. You can get good, solid, clean sushi out of a truck.
It has to be refrigerated, right?
Yeah, well, it's all on the truck. It's like stainless steel inside. Yeah, it's amazing. These guys are great.
And of course, I know they have refrigerators in those trucks, but they have to be really good.
That's a good point. You do have to have a refrigerator to serve sushi. Yeah. So Cupcake, that truck's been running around for a while. Cupcake's out of a truck. Speaking of sweets, there's a brand new one, Street Sweets Utah.
What?
Brand new truck. I wish I knew more. I'm just bringing you the exciting. I guess what I'm asking is, if you're listening and if you tried Street Sweets, go to Yelp, review it, add your photos, tell us about it, tell us if it's any good. I think by way of, you know, friends of friends, I hear it's not, you know, not just cupcakes, but it's other kind of things they're doing on there, cookies, or I don't know. I don't want to speak from having not ever tried it. So if you've tried it, let us know at Yelp. Give us your review. And then Off the Grid, brand new waffles.
What?
Yeah, I've talked to the owner just a couple of times, and waffles. That's all.
That's all you need.
Say it with me. I'll let you say it.
Waffles.
Yeah, and it just makes you hungry. So.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, I mean, the street food scene is really burgeoning, and I think this could really, it may just be the beginning. I don't know. I mean, there is kind of this little rub between, you know, restaurants and street food, and I think there is room on the streets and in the city of Salt Lake for everybody to bring a different taste, a different a little something to the restaurant scene. So I'm excited about it. And if you've tried any of these places that we mentioned, you haven't tried, you know, review it or add a picture or, you know, come to Yelp and check it out and find out where they are and go out and try them.
Well, thanks for letting us know about the street food. Another personal note, not about Chili's this time though. I took a quiz once online. Are you susceptible to overeating or something like that? And do you salivate when you look at pictures of food or talk about food? I've been salivating this whole time. I'm pretty sure I could have a problem with food if I let it. But is it really a problem? You know, I mean, there's a truck in the corner that's got food. You should go eat it.
But I really think that I agree completely. And that's the good thing is, one of the things that I like about these carts and these trailers and all that stuff. There's a trailer in West Jordan called Arepas In-N-Out. It used to be a favorite. It's sort of a semi-favorite now for me. But, you drive up, you tell them what you want, and they hand it to you, and you're done.
Done.
You know, I mean, sometimes it's great to sit down and spend some time with friends and, you know, order something from the waiter. And sometimes it's nice to drive through. But sometimes you just want some food. And I can't tell you how many times I've stopped at the taco carts on 8 South on State Street at Sears.
Oh, me too.
Tacos El Toro, Tacos Don Rafa. And you know, you got a few minutes. You want to grab some stuff, and it's just perfect.
El Toro makes a great quesadilla.
Are you a quesadilla man? A couple quesadilla mentions tonight.
Kind of, you know what? Guilty. You caught me. I love quesadillas. When you get one for $2.99 on the street from a nice lady,
yeah,
I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
Also, a word about food trucks in general and food carts. There's a lot of environmental impact in terms of like the type of packaging they use. So if you can bring your own silverware or bring your own like cutlery, that greatly helps, I think, because that is one of the things that brick and mortar places have that these don't, is they have less of an impact on that. And I always think about that when I'm eating something, you know. If you're ever going to do the fast food, you know, skip the bag. Just get it handed to you. You don't need all that excess packaging. I don't think people on Yelp really mention that, but I'm just throwing that out there.
No, you know what? That's a really great point. There are many Yelpers that I know and my like fellow colleagues who carry their own Swiss Army fork.
Uh-huh.
For that very reason. So it's a great thing to mention.
Yeah, you can get these bamboo utensil kits at Whole Foods or Earth Goods General Store. You can just carry them around all the time, and they're really handy. They come with chopsticks too, knives, everything made out of bamboo. From the earth to the earth, Jeffrey, as they say. You're looking at me all crazy. I'm not a hippie. I'm a realist.
No, man, absolutely, absolutely. So we could talk for a long, long time, but that's quick what's what, especially on specifically the food trucks. But don't be afraid. Go out and try the trucks. Go out and try the carts. Go out and, you know, you're putting money right into these people's pockets, usually who are owning and running the place. And you're also going to try some stuff that you're just not going to get anywhere else.
And go check out more from Jeffrey at Yelp.com and look for Salt Lake City. And you do a newsletter every week. People should check that out. And thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
It's time once more for our weekly daily calendar rundown with contributing editor Ricky Vigil. Thanks for joining me, Ricky.
No problem, JP.
You've assembled a really comprehensive list of events this week. I'm excited.
Thanks. I'm pretty stoked about it myself.
Do you want to start it off for us?
Yeah. So on Tuesday, September 18th, there is yet another Craft Lake City Artist Workshop. This is the first one after the Craft Lake City event. It's happening at the Garage on Beck. We have Marie Bryan of the Cotton Floozy, and she will be teaching a workshop about embroidery. Did you see her work at Craft Lake City? Do you recall?
I believe, yeah.
Yeah, she does this really cool embroidery. Like, she does silly sayings like homo sweet homo or your poop smells nice. Just very nicely embroidered. It brings the old-time tradition of embroidery together with, you know, grossness and modern flair.
A modern flair for gross embroidery.
Yeah. The other cool thing about the Garage that night, it's $1 taco night.
What?
So you can show up, pay $5 to get in to do the embroidery workshop, get a bunch of tacos, and you are still not breaking the bank.
I should say this. A lot of people, besides alcoholics, don't go out every night of the week to party. They usually go on the weekends, right?
Yes.
But this is fun for people that aren't alcoholics to go enjoy at a bar on a Tuesday night.
Very true. And the Garage actually has really, really good food.
They do.
Yeah. I recommend this event.
Yeah. Will you say that after every event?
Yeah.
Ricky Vigil stamp of approval?
I will. I'll state my name. I'm Ricky Vigil, and I recommend this event.
All right. On Wednesday, September 19th, Teutonic Terror Attack Tour.
Yes.
Featuring Creator and Accept at the Complex.
Yeah.
I know you probably know a little bit more about this than I do.
A little bit. This is kind of a bit past my age range when it comes to metal, but Creator is kind of one of the big thrash metal bands of the German thrash scene, like... They're peers of Destruction and Sodom. A lot of people are still super into Creator. We have kind of a big thrash fan base in Salt Lake. And Accept is a little bit older. They're more along the lines of like Black Sabbath or Dio, just like standard Judas Priest style heavy metal. But it should be a really cool show, especially to have two really big German bands come and play in Salt Lake. It is a rare occasion. But my name is Ricky Vigil, and I recommend this event.
I didn't know if you'd do it. You did it. Thank you. Thank God for you, Ricky Vigil. I've always said that. And Thursday, September 20th, we've got a really good show at Kilby Court.
Yeah.
Is this up your alley?
It is a little bit. We have the Jealous Sound and Day Trader. I don't know if you're aware of this, JP, but a few years ago, there was a bit of a 90s emo-style revival. Bands that were, like, playing the old kind of emo, not the eyelinery kind of emo, just the generally sad button-up shirt kind of emo.
Yeah, like Reggie the Full Effect era and the Get Up Kids.
Yeah, I would say even, yeah, Get Up Kids, Sunny Day Real Estate. Anyway, the Jealous Sound is kind of that era. And this other band, Day Trader, who I'm really stoked to see. They're a really cool band. They put out a new album this year on Rise Records. They actually have a member, their guitarist. I don't know if he still is the vocalist or used to be the vocalist, but he was in the Salt Lake band Reviver, the hardcore band.
Talking about Matt?
Yeah, Matt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know Matt personally, but I know that he's in Day Trader. But that should be a really cool show. I really dig Day Trader. I'm going to go check that one out for sure.
As will I. I didn't know Matt was in that band. He's a good guy.
I'm Ricky Vigil, and I recommend that event.
Also, starting September 20th, the Salt Lake City Film Festival, which is going to run until Monday, September 23rd, and that's at Broovies. You have to be 21 or over to go, but there's some really good shows, it looks like.
They also have shows at the Broadway and the Tower.
Yeah.
So you can go to, even if you aren't 21, you can go to a couple of those cool shows. The movie I am most stoked about is called Cartoon College. It's about this cartoon college in Vermont called the Center for Cartoon Studies. It's kind of my dream to go there.
Wait, is this a joke? Is this a documentary? What are you pulling?
It's a real documentary. It's about cartooning and comics and graphic novels and the sequential arts is what we call them in the comic industry, JP.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that is so fancy sounding.
Yeah. But there's also some other really cool shows. There's a bunch of about music, actually, that we got. Intro, which features local musician David Williams, and there's actually an article about that in the September issue of Slug. And then we also have cool movies about The Replacements, Jay Rechard, and there's a movie called Punk's Not Dead. It's about these Macedonian punk rockers.
I heard of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was... Oh, that's going to be great.
It should be a really cool festival. I'm Ricky Vigil, and I support all of these screenings, all of these events. I am a supporter. I kickstarted them, JP.
You did?
Yeah.
And people may be confused about that. You gave money in a crowdsourcing format called Kickstarter.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. I think they might still owe me a t-shirt, but I'm not upset about it. I'm just glad that they got to put this event on.
Well, by God, they better give you that damn t-shirt. And there's going to be letters. There's going to be letters, my friend. And now, this is kind of an uncomfortable subject for me because I don't like to get dirty at all, but why don't you tell people what's going on the 22nd?
Saturday, September 22nd, there is yet another installment of the Dirty Dash at Soldiers Hollow. How would you describe it? I wouldn't say a fun run.
It's an obstacle course?
Yeah, it's like dirty. You run and you get dirty and people wear costumes and there's all kinds of obstacles, like you said. Like, they have a big slide, and they have, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a mud minefield where they have these exploding motors that shoot mud into the air where you get all muddy and stuff. And yet another article about that in the September issue of Slug.
So much awesome stuff going on in September.
Yeah. You know what?
It's the beginning of fall.
I support the whole month of September.
Or, and your name?
Ricky Vigil.
Okay. So just avoid confusion. Just avoid some confusion. And the last but not least, we have to give some shout-outs to some people.
So, happy birthday to Adam Heath, who's one of our photographers. Adam's been with us for a while. He is always a good guy to shoot photos. I think that is an apt description of Adam. Then also on Saturday, September 22nd, happy birthday to Courtney Blair, who is another one of our really awesome writers. She's also the host of the Afternoon Delight program on KRCL.
A very popular show.
Yeah, every Saturday. It's a really cool thing to listen to while you're driving around the city on Saturday afternoons. So, happy birthday, Adam. Happy birthday, Courtney. I'm Ricky Vigil, and I endorse your birthdays.
You not only approve of them, but you endorse their birthdays.
Yes, I do.
Well, anything else you'd like to endorse or add, Ricky? Maybe, can you tell people while you're here, you might as well fill people in on what Napalm Flesh is.
Napalm Flesh is our weekly online metal feature. It is posted every Thursday on slugmag.com. So if you ever feel the need to learn more about bands such as Tur, Whitechapel, As I Lay Dying, we all have recent features on all those bands. So go check out slugmag.com, search for Napalm Flesh, and you can find out about all kinds of rad metal.
And we'll have an upcoming Napalm Flesh roundtable in the next few months.
Yeah,
I'm really excited about that.
The next few months, it should be a really cool show. It's always a good time. Yeah, while you're at the website, you should search out those old Napalm Flesh podcast episodes. They're a lot of fun. Thank you very much, JP.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much, Ricky. Thank you very much, Ricky, and we look forward to the next time you stop in.
Always a pleasure.
Problem Daughter is a punk rock band based out of Salt Lake, comprised of Reagan Ashton on bass, Trey Bird on drums, Tyler Sisson on guitar, and Shane Augustus on guitar. The band released their debut album, American Heroine, in April of 2008, and followed it up immediately with their sophomore album, With Open Hearts and Empty Hands, in January of 2009. The group took a hiatus in 2010, but have since returned with a self-titled full-length album that they released on September 9th. From that album, here's Church Bitch. That was Problem Daughter's Church Bitch. To download the full album where you can find that song, check out their store on problemdaughter.bandcamp.com. To find out more about the group, visit them online at facebook.com/problemdaughter.
I'm currently joined right now by John Kammer. He's of Five State Killing Spree and the Yahweh Tapes. Thanks for joining us, John.
Thanks for having me.
And I just want to get this out of the way right away. The name is interesting, Five State Killing Spree. It probably gives an image to people. I don't know if that was your intent or not, but will you tell us a little bit about that and the choosing of the name and how that impacts the music?
Yeah, my friend Mike Duran, who plays guitar in Five State Killing Spree, and I, we used to be in a band called Stone Pony back in the 90s, and then a band called Dolphin here locally. And we both went our separate ways. He went to California, I got married and had kids, and we reconnected in 2008. And we started creating music, and we couldn't think of a name for the project. And I had been watching Dr. Horrible. My wife is a huge Joss Whedon fan. And he threw out the name Five State Killing Spree, and I thought it was absolutely hilarious. Kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing. Since then, we have had very definite reactions. People either absolutely hate the name, or they absolutely think it's the greatest, most creative thing ever. It's difficult for us because our music's not thrash, it's not hardcore, and a lot of people think that's what they're going to get when they come and see a band called Five State Killing Spree. But we only try to do original music. We do very few covers, and the covers we do, we try to do them our own way. We have been writing original music since 1992, and I probably have at least 1,000 songs that I've written or been a part of creating. This project now, we actually, because of the people saying they didn't like the name, we started looking around at other names, but everything we would come up with, we'd look online and find it's another band somewhere or something, so we just decided to stick with it and roll with the punches. My mom absolutely hates it. And I thought, well, if your mom hates the name of your band, that's one step in the right direction, right?
I think that's the defining element, that you have to have your mom hate one thing about the band. Yep. I'd say you guys are a little bit reminiscent of like Pink Floyd maybe, or some sort of jam band sort of style. It's hard to pigeonhole though. I'm curious where that comes from. What was the first album you ever owned, and what have you been enjoying since then? What is inspiring you?
Well, the first album I ever owned was Billy Joel Glass Houses, with the Still Rock and Roll to Me and those songs on it. I got it when I was a young kid in California. We were on a trip, that's where I'm from, seeing family, and it was an actual vinyl LP that melted in the car on the way back to Utah. When I was younger, my dad died when I was 6 years old, and we used to go to the hospital to see him, and the whole way there and back, we would listen to Barry Manilow, my mom and my brother and I. So my first experience with music was seeing Barry Manilow as I watched, you know, went back and forth to see my dad during his last days. The biggest influence that I had personally with music was, I was about 14 years old, it was 1984, and I was at my grandma's house, I'll never forget, I was walking up the stairs and a commercial came on for Purple Rain. And I literally stopped on the stairs and almost fell over backwards. I had never heard music like that, and it just captivated me. So I became, and still am, a huge fan of Prince's music. I seek out the unknown music, what he calls the vault tapes. That's where I got my idea to call my project The Vault. Songs that you've never heard on the radio, that have never been on major albums, that he recorded on his own using equipment that's as primitive as what I use, but it has that feeling, that raw emotion. But as for right now, I can honestly say, JP, that I like every kind of music there is. I have about 18,000 songs on my MP3s and just put them on random. Lately, actually, I've been listening to Johnny Cash's album America, which is kind of a different take. But I find that for me doing music, what I like to do when I make music is I like to set out with an idea and try to go with that idea. An example would be the last song that I did. I wanted to try beatboxing drums, like a rap backbeat with it, with psychedelic guitar and kind of a harmonic, almost B-52s like vocal backing to it. Just three weird combinations, and throw them together and see what happens.
What happened?
Well, I made a song called Fairy Tale and Princess Rabbit, which is just kind of a silly name for a 7-minute psychedelic experience, is what I'd like to call it. I really like unique original music. I like blending styles. I don't like to be, people ask me all the time, you know, when you're in a band, what kind of music do you play? And it's hard for me to say that. It's almost an insult. I know they're not trying to be insulting, but I play my own music. It's my own stuff, and I don't really know what it sounds like. I've been compared to Lenny Kravitz. I've been compared to the Beatles, Pink Floyd. Maybe not on their level, but just, you know, the music kind of sounds like that. And to me, they're great compliments, and I appreciate it when people say things like that. But I'd like to be known as someone who creates my own style of music.
And that's interesting you bring that up, because there's your music projects that people know about, and then there's kind of a different side of you. The character you've created on the internet and that you sent us some music from. Why don't you tell us what Yahweh is? Just break it down.
You know, a long time ago in the beginning of the internet, my wife and I were watching the show Survivor, and we found a message board, and I had to pick out a username. And the username I came up with was Vince Delgado, and I thought it was just a silly little name. Well, I got into, you know, flaming people and kind of the online bickering and stuff like that, and I became quite a character in that capacity. So I created a YouTube channel a few years later. It was Vince Delgado. I called it Nibiru TV. Now, for those of you that don't know, Nibiru is this planet of legend that's supposedly on an elliptical orbit in our solar system and comes by the Earth every 3,600 years and causes havoc. The next alignment with that is supposed to be, according to legend, December 21st, 2012. So what I've done is I was watching different conspiracy theory videos, basically. And while I'm watching them, I thought, you know, this is all a bunch of bullshit, but I could do a better job than these fools are doing. I can explain this stuff in a more clear, concise manner that hopefully would, you know, bring about some change in people that listen. And I know that sounds like a lofty goal, but my goal is nothing less than to change the world. I believe that the human race is struggling right now because we've lost part of our soul, part of our instinct. And that's just, it's right there. It's on the tip of all of our tongues, but we have a difficult time bringing that into words and bringing that into fruition. What Yahweh does is I've assumed this character who was part of a group of nine that was sent by the seventh emperor of Nibiru to Earth. My character arrived 3,500 years ago in Crete, right before the big disaster there. Number nine of this group was Yeshua, the one known as Jesus. The idea behind this is that what we wanted to do was come here and create religion on Earth. Not religion as current sense, where it's more of a guilt trip or some kind of a ambiguous third party that lives above us and casts down judgment. But the idea that there's something more, that we have souls within us, and that those souls come from and in the end go to the same place. Imagine it as a big ocean, and every molecule of water is one soul moving around. So when I started the project, I did it because I wanted to attract people to listen to my music. And I would mention Five State Killing Spree, 5SKS.com when I would do this thing. It really started to take off. I had people on YouTube asking me when I could create more videos of this nature. So I decided I would, you know, throw a net out and see if I could catch any fish. I said I'm going to do a 9-volume CD collection. Each one will be 80 minutes long, and I'm going to tell the whole story of the human race. And if people would like this, they can donate $250 and I'll send them CDs. Nothing happened. About 2 months after, I had a lady donate for one CD, so I had to make it up. Then, about a month after that, I had two people donate for the full set. So I had to record 8. I spent a Saturday and a Sunday recording, you know, hours and hours of this. Now looking back, I probably have 150 plus hours of this character talking. But what it's created is this base of people who have this firm belief that we are something more. That there is something more to us as human beings than just flesh and blood and things like that, and that we have almost a higher purpose. And this is not a religion. I don't tell people I'm a prophet. I don't tell them that God's gonna punish them or reward them for doing anything. What I do is I tell people to look within yourself. Within each of us, I believe, is the power to do anything we wanna do. If you can envision it, you can do it. And I try to assist people in getting over the hang-ups that they have. I find that most people, you know, at an early age, they're a bright, ambitious, outgoing child, and at some point somebody says, don't talk to the stranger in the grocery store. At some point somebody makes that person feel like they're not worthy of success or of happiness. It makes them feel less about themselves. what I try to do is go back to that beginning point, overcome that, and then show them how they can move forward. And the music ties in directly, because for me, and this is where people can either get off the bus or join me, I had a personal experience in 1995 where I was actually abducted by what you would call aliens. That's where I learned all this stuff. So I'm not just speaking out of my ass here. I'm actually speaking about what I have experienced. And it's amazing to me, because people will send me emails and write me letters and have correspondence with me where they will describe almost in exact detail the same experience that I had. So bringing people together, because there's no resource for people who feel like they've been mentally raped by these experiences. And what I offer is sanity, I guess. A clear explanation of this isn't, you weren't taken because it was random. You're taken because you're special, and they're looking for special qualities in people. And what I find is that most people overlook those special qualities in themselves. And when the light shine on them, you know, they realize that they are something pretty powerful. And it's a neat experience to help them through that. But everything was done to promote the music. You know, I as an original recording artist in Salt Lake City who refuses to accept a record contract, I've been offered dozens of them. I don't want one. I don't want to go into debt to a record company. I record my own music. I can play every instrument there is. I can work by myself faster than I could work with a producer at LA East or someplace like that. And so I like to crank out as much music as I can and just give it away.
And you do that online at your site, 5sks.com.
Correct.
That's the numeral 5. And people can find the Yahweh collection there as well.
Correct.
And all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds very fascinating. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go into it more. I'm sure you have a lot more stories, but the best way that we can tell people to contact you is on the internet, or they can find your shows online as well and see 5 State Killing Spree live, because of course there's other gentlemen in the band. Mm-hmm. Although you guys play a different kind of music than the Yahweh tapes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a little bit of a separate project, but sounds...
I'm involved. I do, one of the other things I do is I trade tracks with musicians around the world.
Oh.
I did a guitar solo for a hip-hop band in Russia, the RITM Girls, that is now a big hit in Moscow. And I am Russian. My family's from Russia. So, and trading tracks all over the world, meeting other musicians who, like me, don't want to play the record company game. And part of that is from being a Prince fan, you learn just how evil record companies can be.
Yeah.
But I try to create my own music. I want it to be original, I want it to be mine, and I want to give it away. I want as many people as care to listen to it to check it out. Because when you sign a contract with a major label, you're going to get pennies. You put your stuff on iTunes, you're going to get pennies. I would rather have 100 people download my music for free and have some of them check it out and hopefully one or two of them like it than try to sell it and make 30 cents a month or something.
And there's a donate button on your site as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people are very, very nice about donating. There's a lot of people who will download the music and then come back later and say, you know, I've shared this with people. I've been listening to it. I'd like to kick down a donation. And we, of course, appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks,
today,
JP.
John.
Thanks for having me.
It's really nice to meet you. That was John from 5 State Killing Spree. He'll be showing up with his band October 12th at 5 Monkeys in Murray. The show's going to be at 9 p.m., and they may or may not have another band supporting them on that night. That's to be announced. Go to 5sks.com, and that's just the numeral 5. So 5sks.com. Thanks for listening to another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Infamous Salt Lake City group Iceburn is reuniting for a one-time show for Revelation Records' 25th anniversary. We'll be interviewing the band for an upcoming episode, and we want to hear some of your favorite memories of the group. You can send us an email at soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message at 858-233-9324. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan, with associate producers Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and me, JP. Our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis, with our main logo and art design by T-Done, and technical design by Kate O'Connor. On next week's show, audio files, fall beers, and the Pickle Factory.